Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Joe says no timeout. Pritchard in the lane. Stuck there. Hauser, can he be the man? No whistle. Hell, knocked down. Tillman. 7.4 to go, Boston by one.
Oh, that voice is going to be so missed come next season. It's KJ and Lyons, Hour 2 on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. That's Mike Gorman with one of the last amazing regular season calls that we're going to hear. I mean, there are people who could probably tell you what game Gorman was calling as their kid was being born in a hospital. It's just kind of fascinating, John, that we're coming to the end of the road in terms of Mike Gorman. Now, he'll still be available during the playoffs for some of the games, but once next season starts, it's a whole fresh start.
Yeah, and he's been the soundtrack to the Celtics since 1981 when he first started his play-by-play broadcast. I mean, chances are you go to any old game, really, of the last 40 years, any highlight, no matter who the player is, you hear his voice. And I think, you know, such a legendary career, I think it's definitely going to leave a void with the Celtics. I do wish, and this would never happen, but if the Celtics made the finals, if ABC would let him call a game, I think that would be awesome.
Oh, you know, contracts.
No. And I love Mike Breen. I'm a huge Mike Breen fan.
Well, you couldn't do that all of a sudden. Hey, you know, like we're now in the finals and we're like, you'd have to do it for the other team as well.
Does the other team have a legendary 43-year announcer retiring? Because if they do, maybe. All right.
Well, maybe not. Maybe their team is only probably they could be an ABA merger team that's only been around since like 75. So, but my point being is this: is I think if the Celtics win 18, I think things kind of get blown up, and I think there's I don't have any prior knowledge, or I'm not leaking anything out of the bag. But understanding how this business works, there's probably a play for Max and Grandy to come back.
I was surprised.
And Drew Carter gets a national deal that he can't refuse.
I was surprised Grandy and Max weren't the heir apparent TV voices when it was announced Mike Gorman was going to retire. And like, I think Drew Carter has been fine. Nothing against him. It's just Grandy and Max have been on the radio together.
He's not born here. That's what it is.
Well, but Grandy and Max have been on there since 2002. So like, they've been on a long time. They do a great job together. And occasionally they've done TV games, fill-ins here and there, and like I think some preseason work over the years. So like, they've done it before. They've obviously been together for a very long time and done a terrific job. I was really surprised that they weren't the original picks. I wonder if maybe they...
I'm not surprised. And it has nothing to do with them. It's called the David Lee Roth theory in this industry. I'm going to school you. When Howard Stern came off of Terrestrial, they had to find someone to replace him. So right away, they were like, let's go to David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth, while was bad, I'm not saying that's the case with Drew Carter, but you kind of put somebody in there to separate the buffer, because if you come on right after the legend who's been there, it can be kind of tough, even for the person. Like, you know, some people might say, man, Mike Gorman was so calming to my spirit that I would leave the TV on and it would help me get to bed. Like, not saying he would put you to sleep, but just the whole idea of the comfort level, right? And so while you may be known, people are trying to compare to the comfort level, because let's just call it what it is. Everybody wasn't jumping on the Drew fan page right away when he started. And I think in part of it, because they're thinking, like, this is the guy that's going to replace Gorman. So I think Drew's done such a good job, right? And this isn't his hometown. That's the other play, that he's going to get an offer to go national. And then you win 18. Now you're starting, your packages look differently when you go out to the salespeople, people you're learning an inside media job here. You're now going to be able to sell Max, who's on that 81 championship team, through, I think, it, but up to the team that was, he was gone by 86. He had been traded to LA.
He won the finals MVP in 84, right?
Right. Yeah. So he's on that 80. He's a young guy on that 81 team with Bird. You've got Grandy, who's been calling games in some capacity since he's come back here from the Timberwolves. You keep Scal as the number three guy, who's been just the classic court jester. And then you have Eddie House, who's tied to the 08 team, who can then be that guy who's been from, like, live from satellite, kind of a Kendrick Perkins type. And now you have really the makings of probably something that competes with the EJ, Shaq, Charles Barkley, and Kenny Smith that you have on TNT for the Celtics as you're celebrating winning 18. Because I think that, and I think this ties to the Jason Tatum story as well, is if the Celtics win 18 this year, Jason Tatum will be the lead runner for MVP next year. And then you will get back to what a lot of people have helped for, is the Celtics to be the national conversation of a team, the way that the Lakers seem to have consistently been. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And speaking about it, you mentioned Eddie House. He did the broadcast down in Atlanta. I thought he was awesome. Like, I would, more time for him, I would support. And I know he does a great job on pregame and postgame, but even during games, you know, here and there, even just as a fill-in sometimes. Like, I thought he was terrific in those games down in Atlanta.
So can I do a behind-the-scenes flex here? So my college roommate is in charge of hiring throughout NBC Universal, right? Like, one day I got a text. He's like, hey, I'm here in Boston. I was just like, hey, did you run into this guy? He said he had glasses on and everything. I was like, yeah, that's him. He's like, oh, yeah, I had a conversation for a second. That's my classmate. I think they're going to say, how do we use the Celtics template to use for other teams across the country for these other NBC sports situations that they have? And I think the Celtics will be the perfect test, because the advertising community is going to pour in money to have their brand slapped with the 18th championship logo. I'm just giving you some inside business. Yeah. Hell, Mike and Ken might say, KJ, you want to work in the sales department too? But these are the things that you have to think out. Like, because you're not going to have a Mike Gorman there that's been there since 81 anymore, you can now have something that ties you to all a familiar voice in Grandy, and then all these other pieces, Maxwell to the 80s, Scal as a player into the late 90s, into the early 2000s, mid-2000s, House with the 2008 team. You probably rotate people like Paul Pearson to come in and hang out. All these things will be at your avail, and you don't have to worry about replacing a celebrity as much as you're looking at, hey, we've got a very entertaining show that goes along with the world champions that are out on the court.
And it's really interesting, because, like, I go back to, like, when Nesson moved on from Don Orsillo, replaced him with Dave O'Brien. Like, that was met with a lot of anger. And I think Don Orsillo's awesome. I wish they hadn't have moved on.
I think he still has a little bit of thing in his chest about that.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
You see some of his posts.
I don't blame him, to be honest. But, like, it's really difficult to be the next guy. Like, no matter how good Dave O'Brien is or isn't, like, you're coming after Don Orsillo. It's not easy. Like, no matter how good Drew Carter is or isn't, it's extremely difficult to come after Mike Gorman. You look at Gil Santos to Bob Socci. Like, that worked because Bob is awesome. But it's a very difficult thing to do, to go to, and by, that's a whole sports
it's a,
thing,
it's a,
too.
It's a tough, like, this is
be
a
the
tough
guy
town.
To be the guy after a legend in anything is extremely, I mean, look at Gerard Mayo coming after Bill Belichick. Like, it's an extremely difficult thing. But to be the guy that comes after the legend in anything, it's extremely difficult. And I think that's where the Celtics TV kind of find themselves. And that's why, to me, Grandy and Max are in such an interesting spot, because I think, like you mentioned, the comfort level thing with Gorman, they're guys that if they slid in, people would be comfortable with them right away. And I think that's one of the reasons the Celtics have had Drew Carter do so many games on the road this year, partly because Gorman wasn't going to do them, but also now at least he builds a comfort level to some degree heading into next year if he doesn't get that national offer that you mentioned.
KJ Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Granted, he could work, right? I think he would work, right? Because he's been the other voice. Think about it. How many voices have there been associated with the Celtics over the last 50, 60 years?
Yeah, it's really two, mainly. Two. Him and Tommy Heinsohn. And I know right. They've had others, but like when you think
Johnny Most, you go back to Johnny Most before that.
Yeah, like when you think of Celtics basketball since 1980, 44 years, like you think of Gorman and Heinsohn, essentially. And I know there's other guys in there that have done well, but like those are the two guys that you think of when you think of Celtics basketball for four decades now. Like it's incredible accomplishment by Gorman. It's a great. I mean, I didn't realize this when I was doing some research before the show. He's won five Emmys. KJ, first of all, I think it should be more than that, but like five Emmys, that's crazy.
I've been nominated for one. We didn't win, but I was
nominated. You should have.
No, I understand why we didn't win. I forgot who we lost to. But
yeah, I'm still going to support
you. I was an editor for Black College Sports Today. But look, I think that's the other thing. This is a tough town. And yeah. Look, I did a morning show for another station. I kind of had to coach up people like, look, this is how it flows here. Trust me when I tell you. So I think it's like, what's familiar? What do I know? What will make me enjoy myself versus someone who feels like they're trying to get their resume off? That would be the turnoff, right? Like, and I think this is not what Drew comes off of, but I think that because people will throw the Syracuse thing, right? Yeah. And you know, in this industry, when you talk about a Syracuse guy, it's almost kind of like everybody's doing their impression of Marv or Ken Albert, you know, like, I'm live from New York, you know? So that's people kind of rub that a different way, right? Because, you know, you're from that Syracuse factory. And look, it's a tough thing to step in for Drew, but there's just a piece of me that feels like, hey, you did this. Somebody's probably got a great offer for you at National. You almost don't refuse it because you don't want to go into 3 years, 5 years, and so forth. Because Drew has made some, you remember the situation that went down with it? Drew made that joke about Eddie House. Eddie House wasn't really thrilled about it. And it was like, you know, so when you have situations like that, you're like, we need it a little more comfortable in here, especially if we're going to start upcharging on the cost for ads with the team wins 18. But again, this is all predicated on winning the championship, because if the team doesn't win the championship, then I don't think you roll out this just kind of like semi-comedic, enjoyable, entertaining situation where now you got the fans are kind of like this team is never going to win it.
The other side of this, though, like, when Gorman started in 81, and maybe you know this better than me, he wasn't a hugely known commodity. So, like, they might look at Drew Carter as that. Like, he's going to be a guy that's going to be here for 30 or 40 years, and we'll be doing a show 40 years from now when he's done, and we'll be talking about how he's a legend, too. Like,
well, at that time, they're coming out of kind of like a purgatory, if you will, the Celtics were.
The NBA Wicks, was.
The Wicks and Rowe, Havlicek's career was ending. And so things were kind of changing, and you didn't know where the franchise was going. You felt that it was going to be going in the right direction once you drafted Bird, and even though Bird sat out a year, you felt like, okay, the future was coming. That's when you hire. So you usually, listen, you hire when there's opportunity, when things aren't looking very well. That's when you go and get somebody that nobody expects, and you can roll with them for 40 years. And because think about it. Gorman, through all those years, really the first 5 years were the glory years, man. I would love to sit and have a drink with him. Like, so tell me about it, what it was like doing those Patino year games.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
but even that, like, and this is a credit to him, like, the Celtics had some bad teams over the last 40 years.
Bad.
And he would make those games exciting. Like, I'm like the 06-07 Celtics, they had that 18-game losing streak. You know, they ended up with the fifth overall pick in the draft before they, you know, traded for Ray Allen. They were awful. And he still made even some of those games entertaining and fun and that you wanted to watch. I mean, that takes, like, that's a special amount of skill right there. If you can get somebody excited about a Celtics game in January of 2007, that's a special skill to have there.
Well, beer does the same thing for you, too. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We continue the Celtics talk about what it might look like in the playoffs. Plus, we still have Would You Rather More Likely To Either Or, WrestleMania Night 1, the NCAA Final Four is going on right now. Plenty still happening, but right now it's time to trend. with John Lyon.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
I think last year we were like so antsy to just get back to the finals that we had a few bad losses in the last, you know, few weeks of the season. We went to 6 games in that first round that, you know, we didn't we may have took some things for granted, right? And this year we've done a really good job of not skipping steps and respecting every game, every day, just trying to get better. As cliche as that sounds.
Come on, C's. KJ Line, WEEI. Jason Tatum saying, look, and it's good to hear him say this out loud, John, that last year, that remember the Hawks series where you're like, what?
You like
what
how he caught himself on that one? He's like, we went to 6 games and, didn't, you want to be like, yeah, the Hawks sucked. We should have beat them in 4.
Right. And because of that, I think more energy was spent than needed to. And finding themselves burning out against Miami.
Philly series, too.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have gone to 7 games.
Well, I give Philly credit for playing those first games. It was like James Harden, you remember, showed up in that first game. And then suddenly, I still remember, I forgot which game it was, but he like would not shoot. And it was almost like something is going on between them and the coach. Obviously, none of those guys are still there, but Embiid. But something's going on between them and the coach that has them like almost, I don't want to say sabotaging the situation, but they did have Philly, if they had just kind of kept their head in the right place, you probably would have seen a different scenario. I don't think the Celtics would have come out of that series.
Oh, I think that, but they lost game 1 without Embiid playing. Game 4, Jaylen Brown came off Harden on that big shot at the end.
Right.
Like, I think that speaks to Tatum's point, right? Like, they just little things. Like, game 5 against Atlanta, what, Murray's suspended and they lose that game at home? Like, Miami, you lose game 7 at home by, 19, 20 points? And I know Tatum rolled his ankle, but come on, game 7 at home and you're the better team and you lose by 20?
Like, go ahead.
No, but this quote that you just played, I'm glad you played it. Like, that's my favorite quote, I think, of Tatum's entire career. Like, that he gets it. Now, I'm not saying that's going to guarantee a championship, but what have we said in the past? Oh, hey, Tatum and Brown, they're these young guys. They're learning. They're maturing. They get it now, right? They not only are they good enough, they get it. Because this is what great teams do. They don't skip steps, right? You look at any team that wins a championship, they don't skip the steps. Whether it's the 08 Celtics, the last time we won here, or you look at the Warriors dynasty, right? Just look, any team. Look at Denver last year. Denver didn't skip any steps. They dominated the entire playoffs. And that's, if you're going to win a championship, you can't skip steps, especially when you've never been there before. And when I say been there before as a champion.
So here's why they can't skip the steps even towards the end of the season. It's not about like, hey, are you going to hold on to the one seed? It's about what's going on behind you, which is very interesting. And I think this would be the week to watch games involving Milwaukee, Cleveland, Orlando, the Knicks, Indiana, Miami, and Philly. There's only three games. Well, okay, forget about the two spot, right? Like Philly doesn't have a chance to get to the two spot. But once you start getting to three, Cleveland 32 losses, Orlando at 4-32 losses, the Knicks have 32 losses at 5, Indiana has 34 losses, Miami has 34 losses, Philly has 35 losses. So just between the teams that have 32 losses and 35 losses, let's just say Philly goes 5-0 and Milwaukee and let's just say Cleveland wets the bed. I mean, Philly could potentially be the 3 or 4 seed.
Yeah.
Right. So just this week. So this is why the Celtics have to be on their game, just because you don't even know who your first round opponent may be.
Yeah, there's
it could be Miami.
It could be Miami. It could be Philly. Like it's not necessarily going to be an easy first round. But like I think if they get the Pacers or obviously the Bulls or the Hawks, they should be able to get through that series in 5 games. But you get Miami in the first round. Yeah, I think you'll win, but that's a tough grinded out series, at least for a few of the games. You get Philly in the first round. That's a tough series. So you're right. It's something you really want to pay attention to. I mean, ideally, the Celtics would want to get Chicago in round one and they just smoke them. But I mean, that's a really just the way it's worked out this year. That bottom of the East is a lot stronger than I think in your typical year.
Nightmare scenario in the play-in tournament or the play-in games. I don't know what you want to call them. Who plays? It's kind of smart, but it's dumb. It's better on the West side, but this would be interesting. So Miami would play Atlanta. Miami is 7, Philly 8, Chicago 9, Atlanta 10. So if Atlanta beats Chicago, okay, then Atlanta beats Miami, the winner of Miami-Philly, Atlanta most likely will end up the 8 seed.
Yep.
And it may be inspiration, who knows, but you can only go by your last results. Maybe this would be the lesson learned and make it effective by sweeping. If you see Atlanta, let's just say Atlanta makes a run, that means they would have gotten hot in this play-in tournament, and you're the Celtics, you have to we have to go out there and sweep them, so that way this conversation doesn't even amplify because we lost our last two straight in a row back-to-back to them. That would be the closest to what they would see in the playoffs, right? Like, hey, your last two games against Atlanta were spaced out like a playoff game might be, and it was both at the same location back-to-back, and you lost both of those games. So if they see Atlanta again, I think that would be more like gasoline on the fire to motivate them. Where with Miami, you're like, I feel like they understand that they can't take them for granted anymore.
Yeah. And I think, though, like if you get into a scenario where you play, let's just say, look at the way the standings are now. Like you play Philly in round one and then potentially Miami in round two. Like that's, again, you're better than both of those teams. You should win both of those series. But that's a lot different than playing Atlanta or Chicago in round one. And then going into round two, like, and you're right about the Atlanta thing and pouring gasoline on the fire. That, like, that was a matchup that could do that. Sure. But the Celtics are still a lot better than Atlanta.
Right.
Like, they're a lot better. So that's why, like, and that's the thing, too, because we talk about, are there any threats in the East? The Celtics should be in the finals. And look, the Celtics are the best team in the NBA. They should get to the finals. And if they play anybody besides Denver, they should win the finals. And even if they play Denver, that's at least an even matchup to me. But if you look at the East, like, I'm not telling you that it's going to, like, they should win the East, but the way these playoffs are setting up, they might have a more difficult first-round matchup than I think a lot of people are anticipating. The way that they've blown teams out this year, I mean, they have 16 wins this year, KJ, by 25 or more points. That's an NBA record. It's unbelievable. So I think when you see that, you think, all right, they're just going to go into the playoffs. They'll blow the doors off the team in the first round. Second round will be a little harder. You know, the conference finals against, say, Milwaukee might be tough, and then they'll get to the finals. Like, they still should get there, but this first-round series I think could end up being a lot more difficult, at least opponent-wise, than maybe it feels like now because of how much they're dominating.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to lead to. Like, I would be more concerned about the Celtics opening round opponent than them, say, facing Orlando or New York in the second round.
Yeah.
They're tough, but they haven't been here, right?
So, sure, that's fair.
Like, if you're talking about Miami, Philadelphia, these are the last two teams that put any pressure on the Celtics in the playoffs, and you might now see them first.
Yep.
And so that where is more of a concern versus an Orlando team that's new to this and a Knicks team that doesn't really still have its strongest pieces there. I mean, if it's just the Jalen Brunson show, I mean, Julius Randle's been determined he's going to be out for the rest of the season, so you don't have him. You still don't know what's going to happen with OG Anunoby, if he's going to be there effectively. You still got some front court issues with, Marcus Robinson.
Yeah, and then even like Cleveland, like you have Donovan Mitchell there, and like they could drop down to the 4 or 5 seed based on losses, but I don't...
That would be a concern more so.
Yeah, but I'm not even as concerned about them as I would be like a Philly or a Miami. Like,
see,
to a point maybe, but not... Again, if Embiid, this is the thing about Philly.
Well, Donovan Mitchell and that front court size with Cleveland is going to cause an issue because
that perimeter defense they can play is
right.
Tough.
So if let's just say Porzingis finds himself in foul trouble, well, now you're going to have to lean on your Cornets more. You're going to have to play Horford extended minutes, right? Xavier Tillman, who we've even said before he got traded here, he was probably the ideal pickup, and I guess you can hire KJ and Lyon for services in terms of futuristic predictions for your team and GM duties. But I think you feel a little bit better with Xavier Tillman up there in the front court. But they've just got so much size with Mobley and with Jared Allen. And then, of course, with Donovan Mitchell, I mean, that's a guy who could go off for 50.
Yeah.
And then you can't forget the other, I forgot the other guard that's there with them. I mean, I don't keep up with Cleveland like that. But I can't remember his name. But they've got a solid team who where you can argue they haven't been there, say like Orlando has, but they do have players who've been in the mix of things. Donovan Mitchell has clear playoff experience when he was with Utah. Jared Allen when he was with the Nets, with the Kyrie and KD version that was there. So there are pieces there that do scare you a little bit, but I mean, my goodness, I mean, they would be in a battle just with right now between Miami and Cleveland. That would be a knockout drag out that you would want to go 7 games and be hello Celtics, welcome aboard, may I take your order? That's what you would. So the Celtics, you're right, they're in a very good position. So over in the West, because I think that's where the bigger story is, it's not like, hey, it's a foregone conclusion that the Celtics are, but they are head and shoulders above the rest of the East. Denver and you have a virtual tie at Denver and Miami at 1-2, and then Oklahoma City is a game behind them in the loss column, and then you get to the Clippers at 4. It's just still very hard for me to say that the Denver Nuggets can't be beat even by the Celtics, just because of how I've seen them play those last 2 minutes of the 2 times they played this year. And this is what we've kind of gotten to about Joe Mazzulla and his decision-making. Like, that's not going to be a conversation until you go up against Denver potentially again in the West.
Yeah, the good news for the Celtics is to win a championship, they only have to beat one team from the West, because the West is, first of all, awesome. But this is something, if there's, you know, one kind of area the Celtics have struggled in this, and I don't even want to say it's been a big struggle, but they've lost a couple games to Denver. I think they split with Minnesota, split with the Clippers the second time they got blown out. I know Porzingis didn't play. Split with OKC, but the time OKC was fully healthy, it was a time OKC won. So it's like they've had some trouble with those top teams in the West. And look, those are great teams. I don't expect the Celtics to sweep them. But I think it's really – like if you get into a finals matchup against Oklahoma City, they wouldn't scare me a ton. They'd scare me a little because they're good. But it's their first time there. Right. So they're just kind of arriving. Like, I think they're going to be good for the next, like, 8 years. But still, their first, almost like what OKC was 12 years ago against the Heat, when it was Harden and Westbrook and Durant, but it was their first time there, and they were just getting there, so they weren't quite on that level yet. But they're still
great. Burgeoning superstars, where this team has one superstar, and you don't really see another burgeoning superstar.
Yeah, not yet. Like Holmgren, I think, is going to be good. And I mean, he's already a good player, but I think he's going to be great. But still, that's a year or two away. Minnesota's kind of in the same boat. Like, they have a lot to like, but they haven't been there before. Like, I don't think they're as talented as the Celtics anyway, and they haven't been there before. But Denver, and you hit the nail on the head, not just as Denver the defending champs, not only do they have, you know, an MVP player in Jokic, but they've out-executed the Celtics at the end of games twice this year already.
Yeah.
Once in Boston, once in Denver. So, and this is where, too, I think home court is a big deal. Because a lot of times in the NBA, home court's overrated. But I think Denver is so good at home, and they're so good executing down the stretch.
And they're a mile in the sky.
I think it helps to have games 1 and 2 in Boston of an NBA Finals. Get settled. Get in the series. Even if you split in Boston, hey, we got our feet wet. We've beaten Denver at least once. We're ready to go. We kind of felt out how they want to play this series. So that's why I think, again, them having home court throughout the finals is really important, especially if you play Denver. And the Clippers, Kawhi is Kawhi. I get it. Can you depend on them to hold up for an entire playoff run? Because if they can, that could be, that's a team that could get to the NBA. That's a team, to me, that could beat Denver in a series.
Interesting because they're sitting at 4.
Yeah, exactly. So that could be a second-round matchup. Problem is, I don't know if they're going to be healthy enough and with enough to do it. And honestly, too, they have to depend on James Harden, which, as we've seen in the playoffs, not going to get you past the second round.
It's interesting because, as you mentioned, if a 1-4 matchup in the second round is Denver and the Clippers, and the Clippers are kind of built to at least hang with Denver, then if, let's just say, the Clippers take that series, then it becomes very interesting in the bigger picture of the West versus the East. Because then you say, you believe that on a surface level that the Clippers and the Celtics would be able to do more things efficiently to beat the Clippers versus the Clippers. While, yes, they've got Harden, they've got, you know, they've got Kawhi, they've got Paul George, you do wonder if Westbrook will be the thing that hurts you if you're the Clippers, right? Because that's what it comes down to, bench play, right? So that's why you don't really fear the Clippers as much. But if the Clippers can do that enough, because what Westbrook doesn't really do well, Denver kind of has that as well with Porter and with Gordon, right? These are guys that are not going to bury a three on. Maybe Porter could, but, you know, Gordon's not going to bury a three on you. Like, if anything, with Gordon, make sure you know where he is when it's time to box out. Don't give him the offensive rebound. That's the type of person you're looking at. But with the Clippers, you don't really have those concerns, I think, if you're the Celtics. You're thinking, okay, there's a bunch of scorers over there. Kawhi is still a great defender. I don't think he's the elite defender that he once was. Same thing with Paul George, not the elite defender that he used to be. And you've got two elite offensive guys in Tatum and Brown that they would have to chase around all day. If this was 5 years ago, I think there would be some type of comparable evenness, if you will. But now I don't think they have that defensive oomph that they used to have that would get in the way of Tatum and Brown.
Yeah, one other team in the West, too, that I'm really interested in, and I don't know if they could. I think they could knock off Denver, but it would still kind of be a surprise, is Phoenix. We are talking about a team that 3 years ago played in the NBA Finals. They still have Devin Booker. They still have Kevin Durant. They have a head coach that's won a championship. That's a loaded roster. And what's been the issue this year? They haven't been fully together. You get them together, as they're starting to get together now, that's an extremely difficult second-round matchup, say, for Denver, if they have to play in the second round. I still think Denver's better than them, but that's a team, too. That would be a fascinating NBA Finals matchup to me against the Celtics. You have the Durant-Tatum thing, Booker and Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday's there, too, who beat Phoenix in the finals a few years ago. To me, that's a fascinating NBA Finals matchup if it came to that.
You know, I don't like using the tank word, but if you're Phoenix, you kind of say, you know what? Maybe win 3 out of our next 5 games to keep ourselves in that 6th spot, because they don't want to find themselves in the 5 spot playing the Clippers right away in the first round. So if you stay in the 6th spot, you feel like you might be able to outgun Oklahoma City and then take your chances potentially against Minnesota in a second round matchup. And if Karl Anthony Towns can only give you a little bit or almost nothing, then now you're saying, okay, Rudy Gobert is not an offensive threat. Anthony Edwards, while he is, after that, it becomes who else will it be for them? So that's where you would see that Phoenix could be dangerous at that 6th spot, where if you go back to the East, the Celtics, because they're so, they're 14 games ahead of Milwaukee in the loss column. So everything is really about who falls in that 2-3 side. And that would be who puts that burden on Milwaukee. Let's say Milwaukee ends up with a 2-7 matchup, which they would right now against Miami.
Yeah.
What happened to them last year against Miami?
And you mentioned the Knicks, too. With Julius Randle not being a vet, I could see the Knicks falling down and being in the play-in And I still think the Knicks could maybe win a play-in. Like, if they played the Bulls, like, I could see them winning that play-in game. But,
right.
like, that to me is, like, an ideal scenario for the Celtics. You get the Knicks in round one, not fully healthy Knicks. Then in round two, you know, however it breaks. But, like, you get the Knicks in round one. That to me is because they're just good enough that they'll make you kind of put your foot on the gas pedal. Like, it won't be like last year with Atlanta where they played with their food for a couple games and ended up going to six. A, the Celtics are more focused, like we talked about at the beginning of the segment. But B, I think the Knicks, even not fully healthy, because it's New York, because it's the Knicks, and they're just good enough that they'll test you in a first round, but you can still win it in five games and be fully rested and healthy going into a second round series.
Yeah, the Knicks could potentially fall to seven, right? And so, like you said, they end up in that playoff series in a 7-8 matchup, which could potentially be up against Philly. They may lose that game
right.
and end up playing the winner of Atlanta-Chicago. And if Atlanta wins that game, now you're talking about Atlanta and New York for that last spot. I mean, you potentially could see the Knicks either completely fall out.
Sure. Yeah.
So that it's just that tight in the East, where in the West, I'll put it this way, it's that tight behind the Celtics in the East, where in the West, really, the top three teams are kind of deciding who's going to be 1-2-3 between Denver, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City. All right, it's KJ Lyons here, WEEI. We still have what would you rather, more likely to either or. Plus, we got to talk about WrestleMania. We got to talk about this conversation that's going on with women's college basketball and the final today at 3. And then, of course, we've got the pregame for the Red Sox Angels closing game, final game, getaway game today at 4:15, and the pregame starts at 3:15. So hang out. More KJ and Lyons next here on WEEI.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Look at your boy, Mama Rose. Look at your boy. Look at the blood. Mama Rose. At WrestleMania, this is going to matter to your son.
Clear, no, you guys. Stay down. That.
Clear, guys.
That. You shut your mouth. What? Just because the show's over, that doesn't mean that the stops. The Rock doesn't give a. Look at this butt. Yes. Yes. What? Show is over and then it stops. That. Your script. That.
The show is almost over here on KJ and Lyons, but as The Rock said, bump that. We still have about 30 more minutes to go here.
I thought that was audio from our pre-show meeting. That was Nico just beating us up.
You're right, exactly. The Rock and WrestleMania 40, a night one last night. Look, we're not going to get into what happened with what match, but this is why I take my hat off to The Rock. If you've never read any of his books, read his very first book. It talks about how when he didn't make it to the NFL, he's living in Canada and he's playing in the CFL. He is so broke that the way he ends up eating is he goes to training table after their practice because he's on the practice squad of a CFL team, and he's eating like pretty much whatever sub sandwiches are left over. And look where this guy is now. Like, the dude owns like what, 10 or 15% of the company and gets to come back. He's literally saved WWE right as Vince McMahon is being shown out the door. And like, I mean, my daughter, I just sent you a picture, John. She's got the belt and she's got the one finger to acknowledge me. It's just fascinating what this guy has done. Like, he's joked about running for president, but let's just call it where in this social media age, you don't think that The Rock wouldn't get at least 8% of the vote across America?
It's really an amazing career too. Like, he was on those Miami Hurricanes teams of the U, and he's come all the way from there to now. I mean, you could make the case. He's one of the top 10 biggest celebrities in the world. I mean, he's done the Fast and Furious movies too. Like he's done all the, so even
the
if,
Disney
like,
movies with the helmet when he was the football player.
Yeah. And like, I don't like wrestling. Like I'm not a WWE guy. I know who The Rock is. I know plenty about his career because he's done all these other fascinating things. I mean, it's really just, it's a fascinating career to me. Like all the different turns it's taken because he's not just a wrestler. He wasn't just a CFO. He's turned that into, he's still a wrestler. He's also an actor. He's also a mogul. He's also just someone that people want to hear speak, right? So it's just, it's a fascinating career and another chapter in it this weekend.
Mama Rose, look at your boy. Me and my daughter have been saying it around the house. My wife has just been like, oh gosh. Like this is how so I have a special needs daughter. My daughter Sarah is 12. And so for her, everything is very quick in terms of attention span. So last night I'm flipping back and forth between WrestleMania and the Final Four. And she's like, you gonna turn back? I was just like, yeah, UConn's starting to pull away with this thing. Yeah. We could go ahead and turn back. So night two is tonight. But those guys in Philly were out in the cold. It was like at one point, like maybe 38 degrees. And they're standing outside watching dudes watch scripted wrestling. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
The Final Four, and it's something interesting is happening, and it's not on the men's side, right? Because Connecticut is just showing what they are. They're a wagon. It'd just be interesting how it turns out Monday night. I think it'd be a pretty good game, is what's happening on the women's side. So first, John, remember we said that we believe that the Iowa-LSU game would probably be like a Magic Bird-type game. Mm-hmm. We were right. It was the highest numbers for a women's college basketball game at that point. It then got broken when Iowa beat UConn Friday night at 14 million viewers. This is absolutely amazing. And then I guess what's kind of absolutely sad at the same time is in the social media realm that we're in, people are now really using the Caitlin Clark avenue. And this is what was really good about Paige Becker saying this at the podium a couple days ago. She's like, don't put that crap on me next year when I come back. I'm not trying to be your whatever you want me to be in this pantheon of women's college basketball, right? Because even with the Angel Reese situation, more people had things to say about what she's done personally than even discussing that she had won a national title the year before. So now if you want to discuss what her grades might or might not have been at Maryland, I say that's fair game because that determines on what goes on the court. But that's what they weren't talking about. And so now you have this narrative. Like, it was really a bad question by a reporter last night to Dawn Staley about her thoughts about people, I'm not even going to say who the transgender should be able to play women's basketball. If you're going to ask that question, you should say, how do you feel about this player named and school named playing in college women's college basketball? But this is kind of the visceral that's just kind of disgusting, right? Why take away from the beauty of the game that you have an undefeated team going against a person who's doing State Farm commercials? Like, come on, some UConn fans will tell you, like, how will you play the State Farm commercials if Iowa had lost? So it's sad, but it's exciting because the women's game is more exciting than the men's game has been this year.
Oh, yeah, and I felt this way the whole tourney. I was more excited and interested for the women's tournament this year. But first time in my life that's been the case, but I was more excited, and it's been a better tournament. It's been more entertaining, bigger storylines. And I think a part of this, KJ, is the women's game, first of all, it's just more popular. It's got more star power, but also they have athletes that actually stay in school for 2 or 3 years. Like, how many guys on the men's side
are
one and done?
The WNBA doesn't pay anything.
Right, no, but I think that, in a inverse way, has helped the popularity of women's college basketball because Caitlin Clark wasn't a one and done. Paige Beckers wasn't a one and done. Angel Reese wasn't a one and done. Like, so many NBA players are
UCLA
one and
done. Not a one and done, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, so many NBA players on the men's side are one and done players. And I think because of that, it helps build an identity, like Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Like that's been a two multi-year building of an identity and a connection, not just to the Iowa fan base, but to the national fan base across the country of basketball fans, right? But if she was a one and done, that wouldn't have happened. Like the best team in the WNBA, the Las Vegas Aces, right? They're loaded. They're a wagon. I bet you more people know who Caitlin Clark is than know who multiple players on the Las Vegas Aces are. And that's not to denigrate the WNBA, but I just think women's college basketball has done such a great job of growing that, and a huge part of it is you have girls that stay multiple years, unlike the men's game, and I think that's a big reason why now the women's game, at least I think entertainment value-wise, has exceeded the men's game in a lot of respects.
I think because of the dominance of UConn, like UConn going undefeated in a season in women's basketball, it's kind of like, yeah, there's peanut butter on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? But I think that's kind of the missing storyline that's here is if Iowa doesn't win, then that's two straight years Caitlin Clark doesn't win a national championship.
Yep.
And South Carolina goes undefeated. Or if Iowa wins, then suddenly we get more State Farms throughout the State Farm commercials throughout the summer, and South Carolina gets its one loss at the very end of the season. Now, here's who I think is really put on notice, and this is a brilliant chess play by Ice Cube. Ice Cube offers Caitlin Clark $5 million to go play in the Big Three because the WNBA team isn't going to give her $5 million a year, right? Yeah. And that puts the WNBA on notice. Hence, does the NBA step back in and start to fund the WNBA a little bit more? Because there have been issues between Ice Cube and the NBA, right? I don't know if you know the story of where he was trying to bring a Big Three game to Memphis. The Memphis team owns the building. At the last minute, they canceled the game on him, and he believes that it was part of the NBA that had something to do with him getting canceled at the last moment. So Ice Cube has a bone to pick, right? It's yes, Caitlin, like I actually the Big Three game would be perfect for her. She could just stand out and shoot from 4 points. But I think it takes away, you don't want to suddenly turn her into a globetrotter, if you will. Yeah. So does the NBA need to step in to help out with this wagon of talent that's coming into the WNBA fast? You know, Reese, Caitlin yeah. Clark.
Beckers is going to be Becker, in there the next couple of years.
Like, Beckers yeah. will be in there probably. You know, she'll probably stay for another year at school. You've got other players that are high quality. Juju Parker may be there in 2 years.
The whole Juju Watkins and the whole South.
I just made her a receiver. I'm sorry.
You have the whole South Carolina team too, like within the next couple of years. Yeah. And that's like the NBA has an opportunity here too. Like the WNBA should probably play at the same time as the NBA. I think that would be better for that. Like they play in the summer now, which is kind of the toughest time of year, I feel like, to get eyeballs on a sport anyway. And you have all this talent coming in. I think it's an opportunity for the NBA to try to take it to another level.
The NBA season, though, because the NBA season virtually plays. I mean, you'll have to dedicate a day of the week that they play and say no NBA games play on that day. But somebody's playing somebody somewhere all the time.
Yeah, but I think you could make it. I think you could make that work. And I think that could be an instance where maybe the popularity feeds off itself. Right. Like if the Celtics are good in March and maybe you watch a Connecticut Sun game in March after the Celtics game, if they're good, like that's just an example. But like if they're both good, that I think can feed off each other.
I think what Caitlin Clark's going to do, and then we'll get to would you rather more likely to either or. Here's the only comparison I will make with Jordan. Jordan was so much bigger than the game that that's how you end up with the Toronto Raptors and the Vancouver Grizzlies, right? Like that's how you end up with those teams because he's so big that it caused for expansion. I think in her situation, it's going to cause for more financial investment from the NBA to the game, knowing that, look, even before the hype train really took off for Caitlin Clark, there were games they were getting higher ratings than the NHL game of the week.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been noticing this for a while. So when you start getting into the 14 and 13 millions, you've got to do something if you're the NBA.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, we're talking the only thing you're competing with at that level is the college football playoff in the NFL. When you're getting to 14, I mean, didn't they outrate every game except game 5 of the NBA Finals in the NBA last year?
Yeah, but Denver is one of those teams, right?
But point being, like, that's the Clark factor. Like, right. To me, if Caitlin Clark's not in that game, it's not 14 million people. And Angel Reese deserves some credit, too.
Well, even in the other game, it was 7 million people, and that's still a high number.
Oh, sure,
All right. So we still have more Red Sox to talk about, including the 2004 team returning on Tuesday. Will people ask for them to actually bring their mitts? That's coming in 5-10 minutes. But right now it's time for... Oh, yeah. We haven't played this in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Would you rather more likely to either or I ask of you? Would you rather more likely to either or I ask of you?
All right, three questions. Would you rather more likely to happen an either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All right. Would you rather the Boston Bruins get the top seed and play one of the New York Islanders, Washington Capitals, Detroit Red Wings, or rest guys to get the second seed and play Tampa Bay, who they are 1-3 against this year?
John?
I'm going to go with that top seed because we saw how difficult a tough first-round matchup can be last year with Florida. Tampa Bay still has cup winners. They still have Kucherov. Whether it's the Penguins, the Flyers, Capitals, whoever, I want that top overall seed. They're only 1 point behind the Rangers. It's in striking distance.
Yeah, if you're the Bruins at this point, you can't be playing around with your food. I think, you know, because everybody is still waiting to see what's going to happen with the goaltending situation with the Bruins. So if you find yourself saying, okay, we're playing Tampa right away, and we know that Tampa and Florida has been a pebble in the shoe over the last several seasons, why even go there when you can start to strengthen your situation right away? All right, next.
And more likely to happen, the Red Sox currently tied for first with the Yankees. More likely to happen, the Red Sox finish April with 20 wins, or the Red Sox are third in the AL East.
Oh, they're third. Yeah,
I think so now, especially now with Story down. Not that Story was everything, but he was part of the thing. So literally when I first asked myself this question, when I wrote this down, well, I just gave away like trade secrets. I thought they could win 20 games by the end of April because I think if they could do some damage against Baltimore, the Angels, and Cleveland, I don't know if that's the situation now. I think they might try and frustrate Rafael Devers and just make the rest of the lineup try and beat them. I think they're more likely to be in third in the AL East by the end of April, which is better than last, though.
Yeah, and Baltimore's already only, a game behind them. So
yeah.
Okay, and last but not least, take a punch from a 57-year-old Mike Tyson or have The Rock rock bottom you.
Oh. Take a punch from 57-year-old Mike Tyson or get rock bottomed by The Rock. John, which one? You got it? Either or.
Yeah, I probably have to take the punch because that would knock me out, knock me down. But I feel like The Rock could just break every bone in my body doing that. So I'll take just one broken face as opposed to an entire broken body.
See, here's the good thing. Punches come in different forms. I didn't say it was a right hook from Mike Tyson or an uppercut. It could be a jab. So if he hits me with the jab, I would rather take that than have The Rock potentially rock bottom me through something that has wood under the construction. If it's a mat, there's wood under there. If it's a table, it's got wood. So, yeah, I'm with you. Take a jab from Mike Tyson. That's the punch I would take. But if it's an uppercut, I don't know. My chin would probably end up in my forehead. All right, we wrap up the show next. KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. Good Sunday to you.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
So it's like a 2-minute drill left here for KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, getting ready for pregame for the Red Sox final game against the Los Angeles Angels. The 2004 team, John, will be at opening day on Tuesday. Do you think any of them should be bringing their glove?
Maybe the remainders of the pitching staff. Oh. Yeah. And whoever, shortstop. If Orlando Cabrera's there, I bet you he could still probably give you some games at shortstop.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm really looking forward to this, too, because it's just such an amazing year for the Red Sox, but sports in Boston, amazing year for baseball to celebrate it 20 years later. I'm really looking forward to it, and depending on how the rest of the season goes, we could look at this as one of the highlights of the entire season.
So will this feel better or worse than the lighthouse ceremonies that have been going on?
It'll feel better. It will definitely feel better than the lighthouse ceremonies because it won't be raining.
But I think you probably should bring the 04 team back in July. So that way it's a summer memory. You know, granted, no, everybody's going to be missing out on opening day, but in terms of school and work and whatnot. But I think you do that in the summer because right now you've got a painful situation with with yet another Trevor Story injury. Like, this is, I mean, this guy's going to be, look, it's like, thank you so much for joining KJ Lyons. The app is free. Odyssey at WEEI, at John Lyons, the real John Lyons, at KJ Carson. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.